Hey guys, welcome to Performance Medicine Audio. This is another episode of Dictations. In this episode, we talk about gut health, and we get into kind of the depth of why it's important, why it's the first thing Dr. Rogers really talks about when he sees a patient for the first time. We go through the questions he asks, and I actually think it's something that you can kind of audit for yourself. If you ask yourself these questions, you can have a pretty good idea of how your gut health is. So I think this is a really important episode. I'm really pumped you guys came from the email, because in the conversation we're able to go a little bit deeper, and there's a few things in this conversation that I think you'll get a lot out of that we weren't able to put in the email. So anyways, thank you guys for being here. If you're enjoying the podcast, I would love it if you guys gave us a rating on iTunes, if that's where you're looking, listening, or Spotify if you're listening there. We would love a rating, and it could be a bad rating if you think it's terrible. Just any sort of rating will give us a great idea of how we're doing and how we can improve this for you guys. So anyways, I'm going to let you guys get to the conversation. Thank you again for being here, and we'll see you next week. Dr. Rogers, one of the big messages that you have on these podcasts and the doctor's note is gut health, and how everything kind of starts with the gut. I want to start off today's conversation by having you explain some of the signs of an unhealthy gut.
Well, first of all, while we're talking about the gut, is because a lot of people overlook it in the one of the most important causes of diseases, including autoimmune disease, diabetes, cancer, eczema, all kinds of things, even mental health, can sleep, and everything really can start in the gut. So a lot of times when I see a new patient and they've had a multiple workup, and they're coming to me because they still don't feel good, I always start out by asking them, how does your gut function? A lot of them are surprised about that question. And then most of the time they say, well, gosh, I've had stomach problems my whole life, like gas or heartburn or bloating or constipation or intermittent diarrhea, pain. So it's interesting that, nobody ever really addresses their gut, because to me, if you can't get their gut straightened out, nothing really is going to work very well. And so I always ask them about that when I first see them. A lot of people think of your gut, your digestive tract, as something that is just a long tube, for your food to pass through, to be absorbed and then excreted. But really, your gut is an incredibly complex organ, and the importance of it to our overall health is just unbelievable. Your gut microbiome refers to the microorganisms, the bacteria that live in your intestines. We each have about 500 different species of bacteria in our digestive tracts. Actually, we have more of the bacterial DNA than we do our own DNA. So while some of these bacteria are harmful to our health, many are just incredibly beneficial and necessary to our overall health. So what you need to do is, number one, determine if you have an unhealthy gut. Some signs of that could be just upset stomach, just like I talked about, gas, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, heartburn. An incredible amount of people have heartburn, and they're taking these acid blockers that really may help symptomatically, but they don't do you any favors in the long term. They can really affect the absorption of your nutrients and vitamins and cause all kinds of problems. So I don't like to leave them on medicines like Prilosec and Nexium for very long, unless they do have a condition like a Barrett's esophagus or something. But things that can really mess up your gut, or of course, or a diet high in sugar and processed foods. That's the first thing I always ask about. A lot of people come to me with weight loss challenges, and oh, so I always start with the gut. So you got to think about, are they insulin resistant? Do they have something called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, unintentional weight changes, sleep disturbances, chronic fatigue, skin irritation like eczema, or unknown causes of rashes that they may get, and the doctor may just treat them, but really not look for a cause of them. Autoimmune problems. Remember, most of your immune system is located in your gut. Like, you got to think about even your neurotransmitters, things like serotonin. It's mostly made in your gut. So some of the things you think are made in your brain are actually made in your gut, and they affect your immune system. Food intolerances, food allergies can, of course, start in the gut. And so those are some of the things I like to start talking with a patient about when they come in for even a different problem.
Well, like, explain to me. So you're in a visit with a patient and you ask them about their gut, and it's clear that they have gut issues. What sort of advice do you give them? Where do you start?
Well, the things I start with those questions. I ask them about how their guts function. Do they have normal bowel movements? Do they have gas, heartburn, bloating, pain? I'll kind of ask them about how your stress levels, because that's definitely related. Stress can definitely be related to gut problems. Everybody knows that. How much sleep do you get? How thoroughly do you chew your food? What kind of foods are you eating? Are you staying hydrated, drinking enough water? Are you taking a probiotic or a prebiotic? Are you intolerant to certain types of foods? Half of us are lactose intolerant, and probably half of us are probably gluten sensitive as well. So those are the questions I start out with, just in general, just to talk to them about what kind of things they're doing.
You mentioned probiotic there, and I know you put most of your patients on a probiotic, if not all of them. What sort of suggestions do you make for a probiotic?
You have to get a good quality probiotic. I agree, most people should be taking them. However, some people cannot tolerate a probiotic.
Huh, I didn't know that.
That's they can It'll actually upset their stomach, and those patients may have this thing called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So if they have that, they probably shouldn't take a probiotic until you can clear out the overgrowth of intestinal bacteria. Sometimes I have to use an antibiotic to a 2-week course of an antibiotic to get rid of that SIBO, and that's a very important starting point, and then put them on a probiotic. So, it's a kind of a complex thing that we look into.
Is there any testing involved? So again, you're starting with the gut with the patient. Does that lead to a test that you need to run on them, or do you?
Yeah, all kinds of gut testing. We can check for SIBO either through it. I don't do the breath test, but there's a breath test for it. And you can also send stool samples into Genova Labs, which we use. We use a blood test called the NutriVal that can give us some ideas about, whether they're gluten sensitive, if they have overgrowth of Candida yeast. And you can even get an evaluation of, what kind of bacteria are living in your intestines. So the other thing we do, of course, is the food allergy testing to see if there's some foods that you should definitely stay away from. Even some good foods are not tolerated by certain people. Like some people are very sensitive to broccoli and some good foods. So you have to kind of figure that out and then balance the gut and then reintroduce those foods one at a time to see how they will tolerate them. A cheap way to do a food sensitivity test is just to go kind of on a bland diet and eliminate the most common food allergens that we see, like dairy, soy, eggs, peanuts, certain tree nuts, shrimp, things like that a lot of people are allergic to.
That's really interesting about the elimination thing. I've seen you do that with with Panera down the street. Just you have a patient go down, eat a bagel, and see how they respond. Is that kind of how it goes? I know that's
Well, on that, I'm actually testing for insulin resistance. I rarely recommend to eat a bagel, but if I think they're insulin resistant, I'll check a fasting insulin level and send them down to eat a bagel and come back and check another insulin level. If it's popped way high, then that's a test for prediabetes. So it's a kind of a different thing. But things you can do, to kind of help your gut is, besides eliminating the bad foods that you're eating, is eat high fiber foods. Even fermented foods are good. That's another good, cheap way to get a probiotic, is just eating fermented foods. That's normal. That's a probiotic right
Can
there.
you explain what that is? Because I don't know
Like
what a fermented food is.
a fermented food is, are things like sauerkraut. That's my favorite one. Even yogurt's a fermented food. Miso, tempeh, which are kimchi, kefir. Those are fermented foods that you can eat. You should also think about eating collagen boosting foods like bone broth. One thing that I've done, because I've had some gut issues through the years myself, I'm definitely lactose intolerant and I'm definitely gluten sensitive. And if my stomach gets upset, I can usually relate it to something that I've just kind of eaten that I shouldn't have. But I found that there's a few things that really help me. Of course, I take a probiotic. The one I take is Theralac, which you only have to take a couple times a week. You keep it in the refrigerator. We have them at Performance Medicine. But I also take collagen protein. I put it in my coffee every morning. And I do L-glutamine. L-glutamine is an amino acid that really helps you balance your gut out a little bit. And also take a, if I know I'm going to be eating something that I may not should be, like Mexican, which I don't tolerate very well, or a heavy meal, I'll take a digestive enzyme that really helps me. There's no doubt it really helps me tolerate a lot of things I shouldn't eat. But the gut's just an interesting, complex thing. So if you have a weight problem or chronic fatigue, rashes, fibromyalgia, autoimmune diseases like Hashimoto's thyroiditis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, the list goes on and on. You should, come talk to me or somebody who knows about the gut.
It's interesting how even during this, I mean, we've only been talking for 11 minutes. It's so clear how everything kind of goes back to it, and I could be wrong, but it seems like the goal is always to end up with more regular bowel movements, avoiding things that upset your stomach, in addition to the stuff that you can't really tell is going on. Does that sound right?
That's exactly right. You are what you eat for sure. And if you have a lot of chronic gut problems, then you're never really going to get to the reason why you're sick or don't feel well. So it's a really good place to start. And I always try to lead into that conversation when I see a new patient, at least get them thinking about their gut and what they tolerate. And then we'll try to help figure it out for them.
Well, that sounds like a perfect place to end this conversation, Dr. Raj. I appreciate your time, and I think we're recording this on a Sunday and Sunday evening, and as we talked about before we got on the phone here, tomorrow is Veterans Day, and I think you wanted to say a little something about that.
Well, it is Veterans Day, and we just appreciate all the veterans and everything they've done for us, the sacrifice that they've given for our country. And we just want to honor them. And Just a big shout out to them. We can't tell you how much we appreciate that.
Well, we're gonna, announce a few things tomorrow, I think, for our veterans that I think will be exciting and fun. So, for the people that are listening on Veterans Day, stay tuned to our social channels for that. Dr. Raj, I'm gonna let you go, get back to the rest of your Sunday, and we will talk again next week.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks. Bye.